Blog Talk Radio.
Hey y'all, it's Chad Bearden and you're listening to Weekdays with Murph.
I'm trying to remember someone I can't forget. Like a song I don't know that I can't get out of my head. Can't seem to shake the face of...
Hi listeners, and welcome to another edition of Weekdays with Murph. Today on the show, we welcome back our good friend, singer-songwriter, Stephanie Ryan. We'll catch up with Stephanie about what she's been up to since the last time she was on. Her brand new single, In My Bones, and anything else that that she's working on that she can talk about, including her recent move to Nashville. This is going to be fun. So with that being said, let's go ahead and welcome back our good friend Stephanie Ryan to the show. Hey, Stephanie, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing well. How are you doing?
I'm good. Thank you for doing this again today.
Of course. I'm just happy to be back on the show.
So, as I alluded to just a minute ago, you recently made the move down to Nashville. How's that working out for you?
It's going really well. Found a place. I mean, I've been looking for years because I've been doing the back and forth from Connecticut to Nashville and then Maine to Nashville for years now. And then finally being able to find a place that made sense for us to move down was trying, of course, because the market's been crazy. But we finally did it. In December, we got to put roots down here and been going full force ever since.
Nice. Now, last time we spoke, I don't know if I told you this, but I actually have family that lives about 20 minutes outside of Nashville. So literally, every time I go, I've got a couch I can crash on.
Oh, nice.
And speaking of that, I try to go pretty much every chance I get because I love that city with literally every fiber of my being.
Oh my gosh, it's one of the best cities, that's for sure. You have to let me know the next time you're in town.
I absolutely will. I think I'll be there. It's looking maybe October-ish, I think. So.
Okay.
I think this is the first time I've actually said this. On air, but I've applied for credentials to cover the Josie Awards this year.
Oh, very nice. I hope you get that. Definitely.
It'll be the first media event I've ever covered. So I'm excited, but I'm incredibly nervous.
Oh, no, you're going to be fine.
Well, I appreciate that. You, my friend, have a brand new music out.
I do. The last single I put out, In My Bones, it came out a few months ago, but it's my most recent single that I've got going on right now. And one of my favorites, it's actually got a lot of streams now that I've, you know, checked it recently. And I was just like, wow, I'm really thankful that I've gotten a lot of people to tune into my music and listen to that song. I think we're just above 40,000 streams on Spotify. And the music video has a bunch of streams on that as well. So I'm just thankful that people are listening to the music and sharing it. And that's all we can ever hope for as independent artists.
Nice. Now, I'm glad you brought up a number of streams because this is something I've barely touched on the podcast in the 11 years I've been covering music. This is something that I've barely touched on, but a streaming for artists on the royalty side of things is actually getting a lot better. It's not perfect by any means, but it's getting a lot better.
Yeah, we can only hope for it to continue to go in the better direction.
Oh, absolutely. And there have been, I don't know if they've been lawsuits, but Spotify and all the streaming services are finally upping their royalty rates just a little bit.
It is great to see, especially, you know, on the writer side of it, but as well as the artist side of it. It's really great to see some changes happening in the industry.
Oh, absolutely. And that's what I've been fighting for the last 10 years, especially for the women of this industry. I've been fighting for and trying to see that change, and I think it's finally paying off.
Yes, and I appreciate that, you know, having people like you out there, you know, working hard for the rest of us, trying to get our music out there, really just, it helps. We all need to give each other a helping hand.
I totally agree, and I cannot tell you, I mean, this is going back to when I first started as a broadcaster, I cannot tell you the number of people who had my back, and still to this day, had my back. I mean, I'm talking some of the major radio players in this industry, who I'm just so incredibly proud to call friends, you know. And that's just been incredible to see. Even this entire industry as a whole, the established artists reaching out and lending a hand down to the newcomers and the independent artists. That's been
mm-hmm.
incredible to see.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so I did want to touch on a little bit. You've got a couple of shows coming up. One tonight and one May 18th.
Yeah, I have actually a lot more than that. I just have been terrible at updating the schedule. I've got a bunch of like writers' rounds coming up, but then I'm also starting to fill my calendar with festivals for the summer. So, for anybody out there listening that hasn't seen the updated schedule yet, I'm getting that out real soon.
Okay. I'm on your website right now, and it's only showing those two. So I was wondering, and you just cleared that up. So I'm looking forward to hopefully getting a show of yours sometime.
I hope so. I'm definitely, like, when I know your dates specifically, I'll make sure that I've got some sort of show going on while you're in town, because that'd be really awesome to have you there.
And we need to meet in person. We've been
yes, finally. Yeah, it's so true. We definitely need to make that happen.
Absolutely. So I did want to ask you this. I know you just recently put down roots, like you said, in Nashville, but I did want to ask, when you're playing all these festivals across the country or whatever, you know, what is the hidden cost of this life that you've signed up for? Is it like days, missed anniversaries? What's the hidden cost of being an artist to you?
Well, I think you have to say that again, because I think my headphones had cut out in the middle of you asking the question.
What is the hidden cost of this life that you signed up for, whether that be missed birthdays, missed anniversaries? What is the hidden cost of this life?
Oh, my gosh, there's a lot. It is missing some of those big life things. We miss a lot of nieces and nephews and family's birthdays just because, of being on the road or just not being in town. I have family that's a little bit scattered around, so definitely makes it challenging to not get to those places. But, it, you know, it also takes time away from living a kind of normal everyday life because I'm, you know, songwriting during the day and then nighttime is usually going out and playing or catching a show, so it doesn't leave a lot of personal time. I guess you could say the cost would be that, but it's a cost worth paying for to live this life and to follow this dream. I'm happy to pay that price.
I totally understand that. And this is going back to when I was first coming up as a broadcaster in this industry. My cell phone would literally be glued to my hand like 18 hours a day. It's not even funny.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be cold emailing people. I'd be on social media just grinding, you know. And
I feel like that's one of the harder parts.
Absolutely, and while I'm not on the road, like you guys are, 200 and something days out of the year, it's still a grind, you know.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, being independent, I'm doing all of the things, right? I'm the scheduler. I book everything. I'm the manager. I do all the social media. So you're cutting out a lot of extra time that you might have by trying to wear all of those hats. But it's just what we have to do.
Exactly. And I got to say, having covered this industry for as long as I have such respect for what you guys do. I mean, I couldn't do it.
Thank you. It takes a lot, but you know, everyone's job, we all have the pros and cons of it all, and we just work through it to do the best we can.
Right. So, I kind of wanted to switch gears here a little bit and go a little bit more in depth on your single In My Bones. How did that song come to be? Take me to the writing room.
Well, I sat down with one of my favorite co-writers, Paige Davis, and her and I write a lot, but got in the room and just had an idea for the song. I know, she's amazing. Got the idea for the song, and I brought it to the writing room, and I just told her, like, hey, I have this idea, and I think you would be a great person to write it with. And she heard the idea and was like, you know what, I think we should follow this direction and see, like, kind of where it takes us. We took about probably 3 hours to write it.
Nice. You know, and I know for a lot of people, it doesn't happen that quick. I mean, sometimes it'll take maybe 2 or 3 writing sessions to nail down the song, and so that's pretty awesome. It took just 3 hours to do.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes, you know, you never know what's going to happen in the writing room. I've had songs that take 6 hours to write. I have songs that have taken 90 minutes.
Mm-hmm. And something else.
Yeah, it just depends.
And something else I found very, very interesting. I was talking to somebody a few weeks ago and they were saying something about telling a story about that they had walked into the writing room with an idea like, hey, let's write this today. And then somebody else throw up another idea, and they're like, nope, we're writing that. So I think that's pretty interesting how all that works. Somebody will throw out something, and you'll totally change views and write the idea of what the other person said.
That's one of my favorite things in a writing room is that, like, everybody's so collaborative with everything. So, you know, I try not to do more than, like, 3 people in a write, but having the ability to have people to bounce ideas off on or say a lyric and somebody just figures out how to manipulate it a little bit to say it a little differently, and it just fits, you know what I mean?
Now, in my younger days, I tried writing songs, and it's really not easy, so I sort of gave it up. But I do still play around with the guitar a little bit. So I'm
nice.
I've been playing guitar now probably 7 or 8 years, and I'll tell you this much: YouTube is so helpful. I mean, if I didn't have a YouTube to learn the guitar, I'd probably given it up 6 years ago.
Oh, I hear that. That's exactly how I taught myself how to play guitar a couple of years ago. I was just like, all right, if I'm going to learn how to do this, I need to be taught. And having YouTube, being able to look up different people performing different songs, but also different ways of which they do it. And you could hear one song and have somebody play it three different ways, and you, as a beginner, can kind of choose which way is the easiest way for you to go about it, and then just, you know, continue to learn from there.
Right, and I picked up so many little tricks. It's just not even funny, but there's two or three. Well, there's probably more than that, but I found two or three different ways to play a G chord or a C chord or whatever. There's probably thousands of ways to do it, but I've only picked up about two or three different ways, and I think that's so cool.
It is, you know, it's helpful too when you're going through the chord changes to be able to find a position that you can kind of go faster with a certain chord, even if you're not playing it like the traditional way. There are, you know, six or seven different other ways that you could play that same chord and be able to get a similar sound out of it. So I love that instrument, and it's something just like always worth practicing and getting better at, because you're never perfect, right? You're always just trying to get to the next level, and there's always something new to learn.
I'm going to send you, I found a YouTube channel that is just beyond helpful. I'm going to send that to you.
Yes, please. Send it my way.
And this is the way that I play the chords. It shows you a much easier way to do it that will save you time, you know. And this guy, the guy that runs the channel, not only does he do country, he does a little bit of rock, he does some contemporary Christian, he does a wide range of genres. So I'll send that to you after we're done here.
I'm always interested in hearing new ways to perform things and looking at new videos. There's so many great teachers out there, so I appreciate it. Thank you.
I don't know if you've heard about this or not, but the channel is called Country Song Teacher.
No, I haven't heard of that.
I'll definitely send that to you, and you can thank me later.
Oh, I will. You know I will.
Okay. So a couple more questions I've got for you that I don't think we covered last time you were on, but being in Nashville now and being pretty much a fully immersed in the industry, what's the biggest lesson the industry taught you?
The biggest lesson, wow. Let me think about that for a second. I would say probably patience and perseverance are the biggest lessons that I've learned so far here. Nothing ever happens overnight, and you got to put a lot of effort into things, and you've got to just be patient and watch. It's kind of like watching a flower grow. You got to water it, and you got to do all the right things, and it will eventually get there. You just have to be patient.
And I love what you said about about Nothing Happens Overnight, because I am a firm believer that there's no such thing as the overnight success.
No one sees the behind the scenes. We think, you know, these artists have come out of nowhere and just all of a sudden everybody knows who they are. And, you know, there's a lot of work behind the scenes that people don't see, or that they just aren't privy enough to know about how that artist started and where they came from.
A perfect example for me is Jelly Roll. That man burst onto the scene like nobody's business. But I guarantee you, it was years and years of grinding behind the scenes before anybody ever knew who he was.
Mm-hmm.
So, like I said, to me, that there's no such thing as the overnight success at all. You've got to put at least 10 years into it to even be considered a quote unquote overnight success. So.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, I 100% agree with that.
So, and this might be the last question I've got for you, but professionally speaking, what is the best thing that's ever happened to you?
I would say, at least for the moment, being able to play the Bluebird last year is definitely one of the highlights. I was asked to be part of a show with a really great lineup of people, and that was last January, which I'm, like I said, so super thankful for. And I've got, you know, a lot of things coming up that I can't talk about yet, that are along the same wavelength and just continuing to, like, move the ball forward.
You know, I live about 2.5 hours west of Nashville, and I've never been to the Bluebird.
Oh, well, we're going to have to get you there.
I've never been. You know, and this is embarrassing for me to say, but up until about 3 or 4 years ago, I'd never been to the Opry.
Oh, wow. But you have now, so
yeah,
you're good.
Yes, I have now. I've been to the Opry now for an award show the last 4 years. So I've gotten to see a buddy of mine play the Opry and get a backstage passage courtesy of him.
Oh, that's amazing. That's really amazing.
So
I love doing the backstage tours there. I've not been backstage for a performance, but one day.
Yeah. I remember being back there, and I was like, and literally every single person at the Opry is absolutely just first class. I mean, and it was actually my birthday that day. And everywhere I go, everybody's like, happy birthday, Cody. Happy birthday. I'm like, what a rock star feels like.
Oh, my God. I love that. That is amazing.
It was crazy. It was absolutely crazy. Okay. So before I let you go, I know we talked a little bit about what you've got coming up, but I did want to ask, off the heels of the In My Bones single, what's next for you? I mean, project-wise, what's next for you?
I've got another single coming out. I'm actually supposed to get the mix back for it this week, and then hopefully by mid-April, I'll have the first single of the year dropping. I haven't figured out the date yet, but as soon as I know, I will let you know. But the song is going to be called One More Night. And I haven't actually announced that yet. So here you go. First on your show.
Breaking
And My Bones Breaking is going to be my next single. I mean, One More Night is going to be my next single.
Right. Okay. Okay. So I know I told you this off air, but I'll say this again. If there's ever anything that I can do for you, don't ever hesitate to reach out.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. And same on my side. You ever need anything, you know my number. You know where to call.
Absolutely. All right, so I think I'm going to let you go and let you get back to your evening, but it's been so much fun getting to catch up with you again after probably years. So I think I'm going to...
Yeah, gosh, I feel like it might be 2 years.
2 or 3, I think it might be. But you know you've always got an open invitation back to the show anytime.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that greatly, and it's been such a pleasure and honor to be on your show. We'll definitely have to make this happen more than once every 3 years.
I'm going to hold you to that.
Absolutely. You can.
All right. I'll talk to you later, Stephanie, okay?
Sounds good. Have a great night.
All right, you too. Bye. Well, I hope you guys enjoyed our interview with the lovely Miss Stephanie Ryan. Oh, let's see. I don't have anything scheduled for next Tuesday. I need to get on that. So, as soon as I know something, you guys will know. And also, I don't exactly know when the press credential announcement for the Josie Awards will be, but again, as soon as I know something, y'all know. So with that being said, I think I'm going to end the episode right here. You've been listening to Weekdays with Murph. Thank you, and goodbye.